This is a Pinball News production.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Scott, the Pinball Guy. I have a retail store in Maumee, Ohio, at exit 59 on the Ohio Turnpike. Feel free to stop by. I have over 100 games set up in one big room. And I brought my two techs this year, and last year as well, Ron Kuhn Jr. and Chris Lobdell. And every couple of years, Rob talks me into becoming an exhibitor. The problem with being an exhibitor is you can never have fun at the show because you have to be at your booth all the time. This year, we do have an exhibit. I did bring in a very unusual piece, the first tune to the moon. And I had someone call me up last year, said, I've got a pinball machine I'd like to, sell you. I get those calls all the time. And the guy explained it. What? And I looked it up on the, tried to look it up on the pinball internet database, and it wasn't there. I have a Ford Windstar that I use to pick up pinball machines, and I can usually get two in that van real easy. And the guy lived about 60 miles from the store, and I thought, okay, no problem, I'll just come pick it up. Oh my God, that thing is huge. And so I wasn't able to pick it up, put it in my Ford Windstar, so I had to go back, and we made another arrangements to pick it up, and this time I brought my truck and trailer, and the problem was that his grass was real soft, and we had no trouble backing the trailer into his house. Fortunately, that thing was not in a basement, and the base of that is one huge piece, and so I really dread the idea of trying to move it into someone's basement, so I would love to sell it here. Please talk, and we can negotiate. The topic is really what I do, and I repair pinball machines, sell pinball machines. This is just a hobby gone awry. And in years past, I've done a list of all the things you should take on a service call or what's in your toolbox. And this year I thought, brevity is good. And so I just made a simple, silly little list of things that you should have. And this is probably preaching to the choir because everybody knows this. But nothing worse than going on a service call and you need a fuse, you don't have it. Or my worst situation is not having solder. How many times have we gone barreling through the bottom of a toolbox looking for that little piece of solder so we can make that last connection? The one tool that I have with me all the time is a Gerber.
Not all the time.
Most of the time. And this is a Gerber that has a quarter-inch socket driver on it, and I highly recommend having this at all times. Transistors, lamps, multimeters. The list is obvious. Batteries. The times to always have to have AA batteries and a fuse holder, battery holders.
Well, we've got a table of goodies over here. One of our absolute favorites is this. It was made by AWS Corporation in Florida. It's Max Citrus Remover. It's probably the absolute best stripping material. Very pleasantly scented.
Guess what?
And it removes every type of adhesive you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
We stumbled upon this by accident when a gentleman sent us a trial can, and we liked it so much that we bought, I think it was 48 cans or something like that, But we get it from Max Professional. You basically order it online, but they call us. There's a number on here somewhere, I think. Maybe not. Hey, it's great. It's Max Professional, but I have not found this in any store. I've looked around for myself, and I cannot find it. But His guy was kind of wondering. He said, why do you guys want so much of this stuff? You guys inhaling it or something? It seems like every time we spray it on something, the whole room just smells like oranges. But it's great for, like, you know, how many people get a pinball machine in with the brown tape on it? You know, how hard is it to remove that brown tape? It's almost impossible, and especially when it's been sitting forever. So you spray this on, let it sit, it bubbles up, off. It's great. It doesn't strip paint. It's just really nice stuff, and it does not melt plastics. One thing I would not advise is don't spray it on red silk screen material, the older stuff, the old Bally stuff. Unfortunately, I was cleaning a power play hockey with it last year, and I started wiping, and all of a sudden my rag turned red. And the next thing I knew, I had some clear plastic kicker plates. So it's pretty safe usually on everything else, but I would not recommend it on the deep reds. One of our other things that, of course, we carry around with us.
So much of it.
Yeah. You guys have probably run into a lot of the WMS machines where once in a while you start getting a bad display or something's going goofy or some noise is coming out of it. Normally it's the ribbon cable. So what we've done is we purchased a large roll of ribbon and we make our own connectors. You know, it usually takes care of the whole problem. Use a crimping tool. Crimp them up, put them on. Next thing you know, machine's fixed. It's a quick fix, and it works, and it's the right fix. So it's not like just rigging it up. My favorite tool of all kind. I'm known as a pop rivet king. I love pop rivets. You can hide them. They hold nicely on ramps, especially when you get a cracked ramp that where the connector is broken, or the edge connector. What we'll do is we'll take our grinder and take an old metal rail and grind it down, make a nice curvature around it, put it in on the bottom of the machine, rivet that thing to the plastic ramp, and you got a perfect ramp protector. Works all the time. Different size pop rivets. Everybody needs these. I never knew what they were called. I always said plugs. Well, they're basically wire caps. And you just always run into some pinball machine out there that isn't grounded. And these come in real handy. Just throw them on your bare wires and they have little screws on them. You don't have to really do anything special to them. How many times have you actually gone between a pinball machine and you touched one, had another one, and you got that jolt? Yeah, I've been finding that out very, it's a unique, it sticks, 60 hertz is going through the machine, and you don't even really know it. Actually, I'm able to feel it between two machines or one that's not grounded. I can just put my hands on it, and I can actually tell just by running my hand on it. Everybody else says I'm crazy. They'll have to take a meter and do it. But I can feel it. And you can actually just, you can feel the resistance in your hand. And I can tell in 2 seconds that that needs a ground plug. So keep them handy. It's a good thing. Oh, God, electrical tape. Keep it handy. We buy it by the case. The best thing in this industry is, of course, a good meter. We recommend the Flukes. They never seem to break. They're always reliable.
The dirtiest.
Thank you. And they're pretty much indestructible. And you can really, you can pretty much throw them around. And you probably actually could drop it from a very large distance. They are quite protected, unless it would land up on its face, which I don't think it would. Yeah, it is designed not to.
Don't lose
One thing we carry in our toolboxes, it seems like you got to have them all the time, is just a different variety of drop targets. You know, keep a couple of Gottliebs, keep a couple of Bally's, keep a couple of Williams. You just never know. Whatever machine you're going to go out on.
That's the same for...
Oh, yes. Yeah, and the same for posts. How many times do you get out to a machine and the post is just crushed? You know, you just got to take a quick repair on that.
One of the tricks I like to do is attack a play field or two, Bally Williams, Data East, Gottlieb, and just take parts off and just have all the parts just fall into a little box. So you've got a box of Data East parts, you've got a box of Gottlieb parts. I'm talking about screws, nuts, T-nuts. And so you've, instead of carrying an entire pinball machine with you, you can have a lot of parts available and you just kind of rummage through.
And believe me, if you come to our shop, you can see parts.
And parts. Pole barns. I'll throw parts into various toolboxes, parts boxes, and then I'll get tired of that box and I'll just get another one. And so the pole barn is amazing. So if you stop by the store, be sure to ask for the tour.
Yes, it will last approximately 1 hour and 45 minutes. Another great tool to have in your box. Pick them up at Radio Shack. Anybody know what this is? That's right. I love this because I'm always watching everybody grab their screwdriver and pop a fuse out, and the next thing you know, you're breaking off the fuse connector. Yeah, he's shaking his head again. Okay. You know, it happens all the time, and especially in what machine? Thank you. And why does that happen, Eric? Well, they suck, but they have a lot of stress points on them. For some reason, it's like a cheap metal or something that they use because it just gets so hot, it just stresses out. And when next thing you know, you're putting a fuse in, and that's about 85% of the repairs on a Data East are fuse related because of, you know, power issues or the things resetting or whatever. It's probably not electronic problem. It's probably one of those fuse holders that's stressed out, and you can just put your finger on them, snap them right off. So it's best to just replace them. Fuse puller, great. Get it underneath there, pull the fuse, and check the fuse. How many of you check the fuse in line? Oh, you do. And you can tell that the fuse is bad itself by looking at it?
No.
Exactly. Use a meter. Because if you don't use a meter, you're just fooling yourself. I mean, I've looked several times, looked at a slow blow fuse and said, that's okay. No, it's not. It'll fool you every time. So get yourself a good fuse puller and pull it out. We were just talking a little bit ago about battery holders. What's the norm on batteries? Anybody?
I heard it.
Come on, I hear it. What is it?
1 year.
1 year. Okay. How many times do you change the smoke alarm batteries in your house?
When it starts to beep.
Oh, I do mine every 6 months, and I'm pretty faithful about that. And what I do is every time I change my smoke alarm batteries, I put another little tag on my computer. Or I'm sorry, on my pinball machine inside the door saying that I changed the batteries on that day. And that's a good thing because you never want them to base mold coming out of their sockets, because you'll end up getting that base all over your MPU, and the next thing you know, your board is being trashed by battery damage. So
the trick is to tell that to your customers.
It is very tough to tell them that. And they'd sit there and go, oh, yeah, okay. And then you get a call, like we did for the getaway, and they say, batteries? Oh, no, I've had the machine for 10 years. Never changed the batteries. First thing we do, we open it up. What a mess.
Or the customer who we do a service call after 5 years, and the machine is absolutely filthy, and I said, well, you need to clean this. And his comment is, the glass comes off.
Well,
every time we deliver a machine, we give them at least an hour of Pinball 101 and explain all these details. But
One other thing that I like to replace on the ballys, you know how bad the bally sockets are on EMs. Boy, if you've ever restored an EM, one of the most time-challenging problems is the GI sockets. Well, the corrosion that gets in there from times past can be removed with a little simple stone. Now, I don't have a stone in my hand. I have a tip in my hand. But assume this to be a very thin pencil-like stone, okay? And it's really great. You stick it in the socket, and you turn it, and the next thing, it's kind of rubberized. And then as you turn it, that actually removes all the debris and stuff in the socket. It's perfectly safe. And then you put the bulb in. So if you can find one here at the expo, pick it up. It's something that you need, and it's a good thing to have. In fact, we found ours underneath the skee ball machine last week when we were cleaning. But replace the sockets if all else fails. You can buy them in a variety of different styles. You've got the flat sockets, you've got the bend, the 90-degree sockets, and then, of course, you got your flasher sockets. And those can also be troublesome, as you know, that they can take down a whole machine. When the 12-volt line goes dead, just like a perfect example, last night, Hercules decided to do something strange. Every time somebody rolled over a rollover switch, it died and blew a fuse. Well, two reasons. The connector was backwards, even though it was keyed properly. You can still turn a connector backwards if it has a double key. Well, this one has a double key for some reason. And by turning it backwards, of course, you're sending all kinds of different signals the other way.
Moral to the story is always check someone else's work.
You got it. If you see a bunch of taped up wires or something, even if it looks like it might be safe to you, undo it and make sure. I had a machine come in from a customer. In fact, it was the Magic City. Right?
Magic Town.
Magic City, which we have brought with us. And it had a cord on it, and it was all taped. And I said, well, it looks probably like it's okay. The customer had obviously been using it. And I thought, you know, I better check it. So I pulled it out. Sure enough, the wires were frayed and touching together and taped together. Dangerous situation. Plug it in. Yes. Very good piece of advice there. To ground out your light, go to another circuit, and you can add another part of the socket, and you can actually see if you're getting current to the socket. Another thing to do is you can use an alligator clip to go between the sockets, periodically just to double check. But don't leave it in the machine; it's kind of tacky. What else we got here? Some good stuff. Don't use bent rods. I've seen this on a lot of machines. You pull the rod out and release it, and the next thing you know, you see the ball is jumping down or jumping up. The reason that happens is because these will tend to bend a little bit, and when that happens, the worst thing that you can do to a pinball machine is kill it by not cleaning it and keeping it up nice, you know, with the new rubbers and stuff. This is your number one killer, not the stone. This is now the tip. But if the tip wears down to the point where it's not making good contact, even though it looks like it's hitting the ball, this can be making a little chip in the ball. Well, what happens when you mar the ball? Anybody? I hear it all over the place.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir here.
Exactly. You start marring up the play field, and the next thing you know, you got ball marks everywhere. Again, a nice little rule of thumb. When you do your rubbers, make sure that you check the balls. If they're bad, replace them. You just don't want to tear up your investment. It's too much fun, and everybody knows that they're harder than heck to fix when they're all ripped up on the playfield. that brings us to the balls. We're using a gun polisher that you use normally when you do shells and things, where you put a media inside of it, and it just vibrates. And you can actually take your old balls and polish the heck out of them with one of those. It just uses walnut shells? Crushed walnut shells, yeah.
Sure.
We can do that with certain things, and that will bring up a high luster, yeah. Yeah, I had a batch that I left in too long, and I found out, yeah, those are no good. Yeah. That's right, and Roland's right about that. There was a thing posted on the internet that there were actual balls being posted from China that were not fully round. They were not machined properly, so they were being sold as inferior balls, and they were doing damage to people's pinball machines. Do you remember what company that was? I don't remember what it was, but he's right about that. The other thing to look for on a ball is just pits. If you get pits, you're not going to be able to buff it out. So you might as well, if you got a pit, just throw the ball away. Or keep it in your pocket. You know, everybody has to have a couple in their pocket. Linkages, switches.
Flipper rebuild kits.
Oh, yes. Use the proper switch. If you're going to be out in the field and you're going to do the repair for somebody, don't take a switch apart and try to fix it. Take a new one and fix it. If you've got some of the Bakelite material, whatever, the insulation material, you start pulling that apart and you got the switch coming apart on you, the stack switches start to go, get yourself a new switch. Every time you try to take it apart and put it back together, you end up cracking something, or one of the insulators comes out, and the next thing you know, you got a bad switch again. It's more time consuming than it is to take and put a new switch in, even though you're going to resolder it. One of the things that I found in the older Bally's and Williams is that the flipper switches, the cabinet switches, can actually have more power, even though you don't have, you know, you have the same amount of current and everything, but you'll get a slight hit on the flipper rather than that nice solid shot, and that's all due to a cabinet switch being worn down to the pads are barely there anymore. Even though it's working, that can cause issues with the coil not firing properly. So if you see that, replace the cabinet switch. Soldering tools. How many of you use just a standard 8-watt iron? Good. Eric, good? So you carry the right tool, right? How many of you use one of these? Now I'll say, what is it? Oh, Eric, yeah, right. What? You use them both. Now, sometimes this can be handy.
For wood burning.
Yeah. But other times, this is just what we call a BMF2K. I'm sure that you can kind of figure out what that stands for. That is not Y2K compliant. And it's way too much heat for usually any circuit, and the next thing you know, you're removing a pad. And we know what happens when you remove a pad. You're going to have to be doing some minor surgery on the board.
That's my job.
That's his job, that's right. We like the standard pencils with a nice needle tip. Get in there, get in a tight spot, and you can usually take care of any problem that you got. We did have some problems with Penray light bulbs. For the longest time, seemed like every time you're putting a Penray 47 in a machine, the next day I just put a bulb in there, and they were burning out right and left. And even though they were a cheap bulb, that's exactly what they were, is cheap bulbs. I recommend it if you want a nice lit play field, that you use Sylvania bulbs if you want to put the expense into them.
The GE. Or the new Burke bulbs.
Or the new Burke. I was going to get to that. Or the new Burke bulbs. Now, I say, what's a Burke bulb? Well, Rob Burke, obviously being a distributor of different things, brought to our attention a bunch of light bulbs, which we tested out, and we really like them. They are brass-based bulbs, so they're a much nicer bulb than the Penrays or the cheaper little Chinese bulbs that are out there that, you know, fall apart when you twist them, or you know, pop when you turn them on, or just turn silver in a day. But they're very, very nice, heavy-duty bulbs. In fact, he swore to us, I use them in my machines. So we tried them, and we like them. So if you like, want a good bulb, that's the guy to see. We're not going to sell those, I don't think.
Oh,
I guess we could.
Sure.
Okay, see us.
Okay, any other questions? It's been fun. Yes.
How's business been lately?
Sucks. Really, really.
It does, okay.
Yeah.
I could give you numbers. Can we give me the numbers?
Yeah, just in the month of September alone.
September 28th, last year, we were at 48,875, which we were pretty happy with that number. This year, at the same date, 12,710. If that kind of gives you any kind of a clue, we...
But I'm not in it for the money. I just love the game. I've been doing this for 15 years, and I think there's been two or three years I actually showed a profit. But I'm having fun. I pay the bills. And it's a hobby gone awry. I've just taken what you guys do to the next level. It started with, you know, buying a broken machine from an operator, fixing it up, playing it for a while, selling it to a friend.
And I get too serious with it. I try to make sure that it's running as tight as it possibly can, that we can make every dollar that we possibly can. But I've taken over sales since last year, and I've really gotten pretty serious about it. I mean, I've had our talks.
Yes, but we have to have a positive attitude.
That's exactly it. I keep telling him, positive, positive. We got to think positive. If we focus on positive energy and put it all out there, people will come to us and buy our product. We have a wonderful store. It is a really, really fun, like you said, it's the best hobby in the world. I can't explain to you how much fun I have coming to work every day. I am a computer engineer by trade. I could make more money than you can possibly imagine by the skills that I have. I don't care about that. I don't want it. I gave that up for this hobby, which I absolutely love, and that's why we're all here, right? Yeah, that's right. So with that in mind, let's just turn it back over to Rob.
Gotten gang, thanks so much. Appreciate it.